Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Mike Haggerty for Vicki. We hear it from our local, regional, and state leaders all the time. California has a housing crisis, meaning not enough homes for those who want to live here, and they say we need to strip away red tape, build now, and build fast. When you crunch the numbers a bit, though, they seem to tell a different story. Do we need more housing units in California? Maybe. Affordable housing? Absolutely. But if you look at how building has ramped up over the years compared with the changing dynamics of California's population, the question now is, are we really in a housing crisis after all? Hans Johnson's a senior fellow at the Public Policy Institute of California and an expert in domestic migration, housing in California, and population projections. He joins us now to help make sense of the data. Hans, thanks for joining us on Insight.
My pleasure, Mike.
So the first line in your post on PPIC's website about this issue says, California is in the midst of an unprecedented demographic period. Let's start there. What's happening here in California?
For the first time ever, the state is losing population, and it's kind of a perfect storm of demographic events that have led to that. We have the lowest birth rates ever recorded in our state. Birth rates are going down nationwide as well. So we have fewer births, which of course add to the population. The pandemic led to a dramatic increase in deaths. But in general, deaths have been going up because the population is aging. And so that's occurring apart from the pandemic. And then finally, and most importantly, California had a large outflow of migrants to other states at the same time that international migration slowed down dramatically during the pandemic. And so it's that interstate out-migration that was the primary reason California lost over 500,000 people in the last few years.
What are some of the reasons that people are leaving the state, and where are they moving to?
So most people who move are going to surrounding western states. And what we've seen consistently across many years is that people who move are moving for financial reasons. Either they're moving for a job, or more commonly, they're moving to find less expensive housing. And when we look at the states they're going to, we see that those states and the metropolitan areas and cities they're going to are less expensive than those that they came from in California. The other big change, though, that happened in the last few years that led to an increased outflow was a large number of people who were able to work remotely during the pandemic chose to leave California. The vast majority of people who work remotely didn't, but large numbers did. And that led to an increase in the outflow, especially among more highly educated and more high-income workers.
Not everyone who moves out, though. Let's talk about in-state migration for a bit. Are we still seeing people who are moving out of places like the Bay Area or LA, but still staying in California?
We sure are. In fact, there are more moves within the state than there are out of the state. And as everyone in Sacramento is probably aware, a large flow of people have moved from the Bay Area to the Sacramento region in Southern California. The flow from Los Angeles to especially the Inland Empire is the longstanding trend as well.
You mentioned the flow into Sacramento. What do the details of that look like?
So we have people who, in some cases, are moving to the Sacramento region, and I would also now include the Stockton area and Lodi area, who actually are still commuting back to jobs in the Bay Area. Again, remote work allows some of that to happen. But in the Sacramento case, we also see a large flow of people who are moving to Sacramento and finding a job up there.
What are you finding in terms of the changing dynamic of household makeup here in California? Has something happened to the traditional single family dynamic or roommate sharing a space?
Yes, exactly. So one of the conundrums of what's happened in California with this population loss is that the same time that we've lost over 500,000 people, we've added several hundred thousand new housing units over the last few years. And those housing units aren't going vacant. It's not that no one's living in them. In fact, people are. Instead, what's happening is that Californians are spreading out. We have fewer people living in more housing units. And the way that works is that we have fewer people per housing unit. And there are lots of reasons for that. Some of them we already kind of touched on. People are having fewer children. So, of course, that leads to a decline in the number of people in a household. The population is aging, and older people, especially seniors are more likely to live alone or with just one other person. But then also we see that roommates who prior to the pandemic might have had two or three roommates are now having fewer roommates and spreading out that way. And then I should note that the nature of the new housing that we're building also has led to a decline in the number of people per housing unit. Specifically, we're building a lot of multi-unit housing in many cases in large buildings with five or more units per building. And the number of single family detached homes that we're building in California is actually declining.
It feels like our conversation is kind of naturally morphed from people to housing. With the overall population on the decline, housing units projecting upward, are we still in a housing crisis?
I think, well, certainly we are. And the reasons why I say that is that we have still low vacancy rates, lower than in the rest of the nation in terms of places that are for rent or places that are for sale. So that's a sign of very strong and continued housing demand. And for several decades, we had actually added more people than we had added housing units on a percentage basis. And so we have a deficit of housing in California, an undersupply, if you will. So that by some estimates, California was 3.5 million housing units short of what we needed to accommodate a population of our size. So even though we are building more housing now and losing population, we still have a lot of indications that we do have a housing crisis and we do have a housing shortage. Having said that, it is the case that especially if these trends continue, we will start to cut into some of that housing supply deficit.
How much of this broad housing crisis, though, is actually an affordable housing crisis? And I'll give you an example. There are homes in West Roseville right now that are advertising that they start in the low 400,000s. Now, I know that there's no hard and fast income rule about qualifying for a mortgage, but it seems to me that if we're talking 10% down, that's $40,000 right there. You're probably going to have to be around six-figure income to qualify for this $400,000 house.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, the housing crisis is especially acute for people from low and middle-income families. And we see it in all kinds of ways. So, for example, the share of income that Californians spend on housing is substantially higher than in the rest of the country, and especially much, much higher for low-income and middle-income households. We know from PPIC statewide survey that a large share of Californians want to own a home. Many who do not want to own a home. And many prefer a single-family home. So, at the same time that we are building, and rightly so, a lot of multi-unit buildings in dense cities, which is the right type of housing to build in those places. You can accommodate more people in a taller structure with more units than a single family house. But many people want to own a single family home, and we're not building those to the same extent. So you do see these very expensive new housing developments like the one you mentioned in Roseville. Roseville is kind of an interesting example. So unlike most larger cities in California, Roseville gained population since the last census. And the vast majority of homes that were built in Roseville, and it had a fairly robust housing construction, were single family units. So that was kind of, you know, the old pattern of California population growth: suburban sprawl, single family units, families moving in, lots of people per household. Whereas in most large cities in California, including Sacramento, housing growth was fairly robust, but the vast majority of that housing growth was in multi-unit buildings that don't accommodate as many people per unit. And at the same time that the existing housing stock was experiencing declines in the number of people per unit, that new housing couldn't make up for that decline.
What happened to the starter home? You know, where do you have to live in California to get first-time home buying experience without going broke? Or is that even possible in California anymore?
Well, you know, it is possible in some places, but what people are looking for is a combination of housing affordability and amenities, certainly a job, although again, with remote work, the job equation isn't quite as set to geography as it was in the past. But there are places that are less expensive. They tend to be rural. They tend to be more isolated, places like Redding or Eureka. But what many people end up doing is leaving the state to places like Phoenix or Seattle or Portland. And those flows, as I noted, have actually increased during the pandemic and over the last few years.
Only got about a minute left, so let me ask you. You're an expert in population projections. Let's flash forward 10 years, 2033. What does California's population look like, and what about housing?
Yeah, I'm going to do a complete hedge here. You know, we've never been in a situation like we are right now where we've been losing population, so it's really hard to forecast. The Department of Finance, who I have a tremendous amount of respect for, just produced a new series of projections that suggest California is going to essentially have no population growth over the next several decades. I think that is as plausible as a scenario as any right now. So if that turns out to be the case, and at the same time we are able to continue to build new housing, eventually we should make a dent, a sizable dent in our housing crisis. I don't think any of us kind of hoped that that would be the way we would get out of our housing crisis, is by not being able to accommodate population growth, but it's a possibility.
Hans Johnson's a senior fellow at the PPIC and an expert in domestic migration and housing in California. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Up next, we'll learn about a public radio podcast made by, about, and for teenagers, and for anyone else who wants to learn what's on their minds. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Mike Haggerty for Vicki Gonzalez.